Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September the 9th, 2008. Each week we address the latest in geospatial technology news and applications. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This week, the eyes have it as we turn our attention to news from GeoEye, RapidEye, Spot, and WorldView. Business news from remote sensing and the Earth imaging quarter is heating up again. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
Adina, this week we heard news from several different quarters in the remote sensing community. RapidEye AG, which is a Brandenburg, Germany company, launched a constellation of five satellites on August 29th from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. This is an unusual launch of a full constellation. They're satellite resolution, satellites operating in five spectral bands, blue, red, green, red edge, and near infrared. I'll get to the red edge comment in a second. They're touting the fact that these satellites have a very high repeat date, coming back over the same area very quickly and capturing 4 million square kilometers per day. We also heard from GeoEye that they are launching on Saturday the 6th. They were delayed a couple days due to Hurricane Hannah. The folks that helped them launch a satellite from United Launch Alliance had to mobilize personnel differently than was planned, but they headed back to the West Coast to Vandenberg to help them get that off. We also heard news from Ball Aerospace, which works with Digital Globe to complete WorldView 2. Now, this is another satellite that Digital Globe plans to put up. And once that is launched sometime in 2009, it is anticipated to have eight multispectral bands, again, including the red edge band at a half a meter resolution. I want to take just a second to go over that red edge band. The red edge is a name given to this particular spectral region in the 680 to 740 nanometer range. It's particularly appropriate for watching stress and vegetation. What it does is it looks for a chlorotic effect in plants and looking for vegetation under stress. And we'll provide a link to something in more detail. Lastly, I wanted to touch on the fact that Spotimage became a Google Earth Enterprise partner, and it's going to make its imagery available to both Google Earth and Google Earth Enterprise users. And then I just want to remind everybody that they do produce a range of multispectral imagery, anywhere from 20-meter to 2.5-meter resolution. So, recap, we've got news from a variety of different satellite providers, all the varying range of multispectral resolution and spatial resolution. And it seems to me that there are a lot more products on the market today, and we're going to have to get some smarts about how each of these products are differentiated. The other comment I wanted to make is with the higher repeat visitation by the satellites, we're getting closer and closer to that time where we are going to demand better, more timely imagery from the platforms like Virtual Earth, like Google Earth, such that we're no longer going to accept imagery that's 2 years old. And we may even be requesting different multispectral bands to be shown to us so that we can flip through, look at vegetation, you know, look at the differences in land cover. I truly believe that eventually we're being slow-walked into online image processing. That's where we're at. This was a fairly busy weekend in the remote sensing world.
There's clearly an awful lot going on in the sky, and I think one of the interesting things is to take, in a sense, all those launches and tie them back to what's going on in our day-to-day lives here on Earth. First thing I think it's valuable to pull out is that last week it was announced that Google signed an agreement with GeoEye, an exclusive agreement, to get its highest resolution imagery, make it available for Google Earth and Google Maps, and that's the half meter. And that's caused an interesting set of discussions out in the web. Several people have said, oh, well, this is Google's satellite. And I've seen that headline several times, and it kind of makes me uncomfortable because, in fact, much of the funding for that, of course, came from the NGA. Now, in one sense, it is Google because they've got this exclusive contract to use this imagery on the Internet. And that's what you were saying before, that really it's coming down to, you know, who's going to have the most up-to-date, the highest resolution, and our expectations are going through the roof. So that's having some impact on sort of the business world down here on Earth. Another thing to point out, and again, this goes to GOI, they just an announcement from Ubisoft, that's a company that makes games, and they have licensed GOI imagery to put in one of its new games. And we've also been covering at APB another game called The Last Guy, where you operate within an imagery-based environment. There were some rumors that it was actually Google Earth imagery, but in fact it's just imagery, and the company actually hasn't said from whom it licensed it. So not only is the news ubiquitous about what's going up in the sky, but the way it's being used and distributed here on Earth is certainly being impacted as well.
I wanted to say that when in years past, and I'm thinking in the 20 years ago, where satellite imagery was only used by the privileged few, and those are the ones like in the academic community that had grants from the government to purchase the satellite data, and then those in the oil industry, which seemed to have a lot of change in their pocket to buy that sort of stuff. I guess the forestry industry did as well. We're closing the gap really rapidly between the consumers and the scientists. And this whole deal about providing the red edge band on the satellites, one on RapidEye and then the second on WorldView 2, brings up, I think, an interesting situation where that we're going to have to become a little bit smarter about what kind of things that we're demanding in the product. My thinking here is that if any of these communities, scientific community, the business community, is looking at very higher spectral resolution, we're becoming very sophisticated, and therefore when these images become online, right now all we're seeing is natural color. We don't see any of the near IR images that you typically see, a composite Landsat image, for example. Nobody would understand them, for one. But I wonder if that's going to change. I wonder maybe if we're going to see a differentiation in some of the platforms. There may not be just a Google Earth. There may be a Google Earth for scientists. And we may see them put up imagery that will be near IR bands or U-intensity saturation combined bands to get false color imagery in a way that only scientists of a particular community want to see them. So,
I think that's a really interesting vision, and I think the users of Earth imagery, that community, has really been sort of at a loss in some ways. While it's very excited that all this imagery is available, certainly the natural color or somewhat enhanced to look pretty imagery that's out there on different portals, it's still challenging to get at the imagery for science. Now, certainly the announcement recently about the availability of all the Landsat imagery is a big step forward, for example, imagery. You know, who's got it? How do you get the area that you're interested? There aren't the same kind of tools that there are, so far as I know, right now to get that you might have if you go to, say, a GOI or a Digital Globe.
Yeah, obviously, we're in a very early stage. The first thing is to get the imagery there and get it usable. But I just feel that just as some of the commercial platform providers, the Googles and Microsoft, saw a vision to put the natural color imagery up there. We may be just seeing something like that in the future.
Well, and as there's more imagery, we've got to find, in a sense, more better ways to distribute it and get it out to the people who need it. And I think your vision of I would have to say this would have to be some kind of a subscription kind of model for a sort of more science. Community-based Google Earth-like thing. If there is enough demand for that, sure. I mean, the biggest pro of some of these online portals that we're using is that somebody else finds all the imagery, puts it up in a form that's accessible, keeps the servers running, and so forth. And there's certainly value in that, and perhaps the scientific community can make that investment. Now, whether it's a company like Google that does that, or it's the government of a country or several countries, who knows? But that's a really interesting vision, I think.
You can use that vision all the way from the people who own the mega farms who need precision ag All the way down to the person who's got a large lawn to take care of. He wants to see if his vegetation is stressed. I mean, I know that's a fairly extreme vision, but we didn't think we'd be looking for our houses at Google Earth. If you're going to put this data out there, if you're going to send up these birds with this high-precision multispectral imaging, you better make it so it's usable than by more than just a few. And we've certainly seen that come of age with just standard remotely sensed data. And certainly there's that opportunity, maybe not next year, but maybe in the coming years, where we'll want and demand that kind of high spatial resolution, high spectral resolution imagery. I mean, I don't see us using hyperspectral imagery real soon, but the birds are up there with 5 and 8 bands. That could be of more widespread use.
Right. Well, and that comes back to what you suggested, too, which is what's the role of the image processing technology companies? And what role can they play in turning this into products that are valuable, ideally, both for the business sector and for the consumers? The story that I've been hearing for years is you go to Home Depot to find out how much fertilizer for your lawn, and they use some tools, some remotely sensed images and some processing to get you the right stuff and the right amount of the right stuff.
Well, and that's the way it should be. I mean, that's certainly coming, and I think your point about what the image processing company is going to do is very key, because they're introducing tools that are easier workflows and doing a lot more feature extraction that will be able to pre-process the imagery and put it out there for wider use.
There is actually one other piece of satellite news. This was actually back in August, and it was just a small little announcement. There's a company called Surrey that's out of the UK that makes these microsatellites. Well, they have since opened up an office in Denver. So not only are there more birds in the sky, there's more companies making the birds, and they're growing.
Yeah, that's an intriguing possibility with the microsatellites, and whether somebody like a Microsoft or Google might invest in companies like that so that there is some exclusivity to the coverage if they want to look in a particular area. And again, down the road, I still believe that we will see somebody put out real-time imagery. We know the military does it, but it's just an intriguing possibility for 5 or 10 years down the road. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you to attend the 2008 ESRI Electric and Gas User Group Conference, October 19th to the 23rd in Indian Wells, California. Please come explore the latest developments in GIS for the electric and gas community and see how you can transform knowledge into results in your utility. The deadline to register online is September the 19th. For more information or to register, visit www.esri.com/EGUG. That's esri.com/EGUG. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.